For a time in the 90s, the Black Eyed Susans had some interest in the US. All Souls Alive was licensed to LA punk label Frontier Records and Mouth to Mouth to Rick Rubin's American Recordings. This was the home of Johnny Cash, the Black Crows, the Jayhawks, and the Jesus and Mary Chain, amongst others. It was a prestigious label, and to be label mates with Johnny Cash alone was, in my book, honourable. So when the opportunity to join the Great Southern Gent at the CMJ Music Seminar in New York was presented to us, the sense of excitement washed over me like the parting of the Red Sea. This would be the first time we were to play outside of Australia, and we'd be sharing the bill with Johnny Cash and June Carter, old country masters Wilco, and the lesser-known Parlour Jane. How do these things happen? So off we went with all our gear and a tour of the East Coast in place. Boston, Delaware, Hoboken, Detroit, Chicago, further north into Canada and back. I'd been to New York City before, but never to perform. This was a first. I was staying in a photographer's apartment around Washington Square with our drummer Mark Dawson, and the others were in Midtown in a hotel. Things just happen in New York that don't seem to happen anywhere else. Phil Koukoulas greeting Lou Reed in Greenwich Village. Dan Luscombe being mugged. Kiernan Box losing all of his clothes, our van being towed away by the New York City Sheriff's Department, and Mark Dawson being serenaded by a Mexican mariachi trumpeter. One night we're in Little Italy in a small bar which I vaguely remember being called something like Frank's Nut House. There in the corner was a vintage jukebox. Dan dropped in a coin and selected Santo and Johnny's ghostly instrumental Sleepwalk. The otherworldly sounds of the sparse, lonesome steel guitars filled that small room. Moments later, we all piled into a black stretched limousine at our own expense and were subsequently driven over the Brooklyn Bridge. The strains of Kiss playing a live outdoor concert somewhere in amongst the mayhem drifted on through that warm night air. Things were getting surreal. Being part of CMJ gave us the opportunity to witness some incredible music. Gillian Welsh and Dave Rawlings, Junior Brown, the Friends of Dean Martinez, Lamb Chop, The Makeup. Bands from all around the globe congregated in New York for this week. We rehearsed at a space called Rocket, then had a bite to eat with our American label manager in Tribeca. He had unfortunate news that Johnny Cash was quite unwell, so the show had been arranged in a way that JC could finish up early, and consequently, we would play directly before him, and Wilco would now be finishing off the night. The gig was at the Irving Plaza, a ballroom-style venue in the Union Square neighborhood of Manhattan. Talking Heads and the Ramones had played there years before, The Clash, and the B-52s too, amongst others. Our equipment was loaded in and we were waiting to sound check. My first sight of JC was of him being supported either side by two of his bandmates, his strength sapped momentarily. It was a private moment that was difficult to watch, so sad to see him struggling with his own health. Our own show flew by, lost in a slipstream of anxiety and nervous energy. Apparently, when we performed Smoking Johnny Cash, the man in black was at the side of the stage looking on with his fellow musicians. After our performance, he wandered past our band room and looked in. Our eyes met. I just couldn't bring myself to go upstairs to his band room like the other Susans to introduce myself until it was way too late. Fear of that awkward, unintelligible conversation. Perhaps I'd stammer and say something completely inane. So in a way, I was quietly relieved and only a little saddened when Jeff Tweedy told me they'd locked the door by the time I'd managed to muster the courage to wander up those stairs myself. But Dan and Phil hadn't held back. Phil had introduced himself, shaken his hand, and graciously, Johnny Cash had thanked him for the song in a thick, charming southern drawl. He'd signed a few things and wished the band luck. I watched Johnny Cash and June Carter sing their way through a set of old and new. June playing autoharp for an old Carter family tune. They duetted on Jackson. The keyboardist found a trumpet-like sound to emulate the brass on Ring of Fire. I stood there at the back of the room, listening to his powerful, aged, majestic voice forging ahead. Difficult to decipher, he was so unwell, but every so often, June would carry their show. I found myself simply wishing my family could have been there to share the experience.